Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
We're witnessing a revolution in defending, guys, and it's bloody glorious. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Football Ramble. It's Monday the 5th of October. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Just have to say a very quick thank you to Jim for stepping in at last minute for Vish. Thanks, mate.
That's all right.
Yeah. Good of you to turn up.
Well, you know, he's grieving. Seemed the fairest thing to
Vish
do.
Vish has left the app, left the chat.
Oh, God.
Well, we would have been sympathetic, so.
Yeah.
He didn't, need to do that,
pros,
did he, really?
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. Anyway, good to have you along still. You can just take some of the deflected angst, I reckon.
Yeah.
And there is quite a lot of angst to be had, isn't there, Pete?
There's a lot of goals to be described, I would say.
Yeah.
Deflecting in all over the shop.
God, didn't Wolves play well? Wow.
This weekend, like, we're not going to see a single day this season that was better than yesterday.
No.
It was absolutely amazing.
Not just on these shores as
brilliant.
Well. Yeah. I mean, Vish actually said on Twitter, all these goals will rot your teeth. And yeah. I do agree with that. It's like, we've eaten the advent calendar. We've eaten every single day. We'll have
too
now
soon.
For tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah. I think we're going to still have some, actually, Pete. I don't know about you, but I reckon there's going to be goals in the next match week also.
You reckon? I reckon they'll find goals that were hereby undiscovered from last weekend that's just gone.
Yeah.
Because there were just so many goals flying in. We've kind of missed a couple.
Yeah,
it's like looking into the stars and just going, oh, there's a little galaxy hiding behind that Milky Way over there.
It's amazing. Like, is there an argument that the fans should just piss off? it's better without us.
Yeah, exactly.
We put too much pressure on the highly paid athletes, actually.
I think it's
we don't want to put them on.
The start of every season, Jonathan Wilson always sort of goes on Twitter and says, just the defending has just been dreadful again. Yeah. And it's happened for the last 3 or 4 years now. But defenders in the Premier League cannot defend in the first few weekends of the Premier League season.
Great.
They start so slowly. But it's not looking like it's getting any better. And you're right. I think the fans and their absence might have something to do with it.
Lack of fans does give the bad defending sort of space to breathe, doesn't it?
Yes.
Exactly. Is it just because we really underestimate the power of like tens of thousands of people going, man on! Without that, is everyone just useless?
Was it you the other day saying about how, you know, people just shout really basic things?
Yeah.
Even in the Premier League, like these incredible high quality footballers. Yeah. They're like, square it. Like,
turns out they
on,
were
mate.
The 12th man.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, we do need to dig into these big stories. There's a lot to get through, so we better crack on. And you know, we start with the obvious one, which is, it's huge, really. Seeing that, the Gunnosaurus has been sacked by Arsenal.
He has, yeah. Or I mean, more news has come out of this gradually. Obviously, it's a difficult time for me.
Yeah, Jim. Yeah.
And Vish wouldn't swap again. quite unprofessionally. Yeah, Gunnosaurus has been let go by Arsenal. I can't believe I'm saying these words. It's absolutely seismic. But so it turns out that
27 years.
That wonderful dinosaur that shoots T-shirts out of a cannon and wears a watch around his neck, which
talented,
is useless for him.
Kinky little chalker.
Yeah. He's been let go, but in cost-cutting measures on transfer deadline day, when we're failing to bring in our targets. This might be the worst deadline day ever. Initially, I was really scared about this because, as you know, Stan Kroenke is, you know, a fairly dubious character, and he also owns a channel called My Outdoor TV, which is dedicating to hunting and blood sports.
Oh,
and I was worried that, like, is Gunnosaurus going to turn up on an island somewhere and just hunted
be
for sport?
His DNA extracted from a mosquito trapped in amber.
Yeah, I was worried that this could happen. We should really rename the Emirates Gunnosaurus Park.
Get a bloody statue outside next to Thierry Henry, if they indeed they have any statues of Thierry Henry outside.
They do, Paul, they do. But yeah, he basically just the guy who wears the suit is retiring, but it doesn't sound like
he's retiring.
Choice, does it? Doesn't sound like it's his choice.
Oh, you think he's been forced out. I'm really glad he's retiring, if that is the case. Because I was a bit worried that they would just get in some young whippersnapper to wear the costume, like as though it doesn't even matter who's inside the costume. And if it doesn't matter who's inside the costume, what hope is there for
Nothing
any of us,
matters.
Frankly?
Until I see Gunnosaurus going down a busy motorway on a longboard, drinking cranberry juice and singing some Fleetwood Mac, I won't believe he's actually leaving.
Yeah.
He's still there in my heart.
It'd be interesting. I don't know how they cast the new Gunnosaurus. Idris Elba, Tom Hiddleston, one of those guys. Don't know.
And then they'll just go for Tom Hardy.
Oh my God, they might go for a Lady Gunnosaurus.
The Doctor Who fans will be kicking off.
Dear.
But, you know, it's all right, isn't it?
It's the end of football as we know it, mate.
Yeah. So.
Well, look, I'm sorry for your loss.
Difficult day.
Have you thought of putting your name in the hat?
I struggle to stay on my feet in
your own body.
Clothes.
In your own body.
Yeah, without wearing a dinosaur body.
It is quite protective, though.
Yes.
It's very bottom heavy.
He's just bouncing to walls.
Yeah.
Actually, it could be quite a big win.
I would not give you a T-shirt cannon anyway. You'd take your own head off with it.
Well, exactly. I mean, I just don't think I don't know if my skill set suits the role.
Well, maybe it was that Liverpool were preemptively rocked by this big news. When they were beaten 7-2 by Aston Villa.
S-E-V-E-N.
That's beautiful spelling from you. I'm glad someone's doing the maths on this. I actually think it's such a momentous occasion that we need a new game. Luke's not here. I was thinking Mason's game. 9 goals in this one. Tell me, Jim, which goal was the Ollie Watkins header to complete his hat-trick?
Was it the
fourth?
I was going to say third.
Right.
But
Feel free to come in, Pete. It's very difficult.
Yeah, well, no, because he didn't get three in a row. Did he get three in a row? Was it broken up by...
If you're counting it up...
McGinn's. No, it was the fourth.
Don't forget to count the Mo Salah goal. No, it was the fifth. Consecutively.
Right. Okay,
and that's how difficult this game is to discuss.
Oh, God.
It was hard to keep track of the bloody goal.
It was hard to keep track of that third goal from him because it was like the whole... Obviously, Liverpool are famous for keeping quite a high line. Sort of going, look, if you're getting behind us, the linesman will just respect our craft that we kept our line and they'll call it offside. Except they won't because it wasn't offside.
Yeah.
So, just terrible defending.
It was really all over the place, wasn't it? Joe Dave Gomez, which is his name. had a torrid old time, didn't he? And Van Dijk was quite unlucky with that deflection from McGinnyester. But,
but then when Gomez came off, I thought he's dodgeable there because they continued to be terrible after he went off as well.
But it's not on him.
It's kind of rare that you see a player that high profile for a team that good get hooked, like properly. Mm. You're not coming off for a tactical or fitness related reason. It's just because you're having a terrible day.
Yeah. Mm.
But it was what a spectacle. I think that is one of the best games I've ever seen in the Premier League.
Just really? Because, that's, I mean, there was a lot of deflected goals. You want quality. But,
I love it.
Because of the chaos
goal.
Of it.
Come
exactly
on,
for that reason. Yeah,
it's like pinball stuff. You love it.
Completely.
By the end, so I was at Sky for the last 15 minutes. So I was on air for the last 15 minutes. So you can't watch it as closely, but you'd be glancing across to see it. And it did sort of just look like Liverpool were just 11 men. Sort of standing in various positions on the pitch.
Oh, but they held the line though, didn't they? They held their line.
They held the line at the expense of both flanks for some reason.
Those 6 weeks for Alisson on the sidelines are going to look
very, very.
I mean, I would not rule out them bringing a goalkeeper in today. Anyone?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, passing to Jack Grealish when you're the opposition goalkeeper is not going to end well, is it? Klopp was really angry about that after the game, and it was really interesting hearing him speak. Because he was saying that
about the fourth minute goal from Adrian, or generally,
including that, because he said the first goal
from
really,
Adrian, he didn't
really
actually score
us.
It. Just to clarify,
no, but he said the first goal really affected us, and I'm annoyed about that because it really shouldn't have.
Yeah,
and he's absolutely
mad,
right. You don't
it?
Normally expect that from Liverpool, but it did feel like that just rocked them, and they just were really like rickety after that. And obviously Villa were brilliant, and that's going to get lost a little bit, I think. Mm. Like, man for man, they were absolutely superb.
Barkley
all over
turns
the pitch.
It on against Liverpool, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah,
he loves it. I mean, it's a hell of a signing.
It also looked for a little while like, because he had a couple of chances that were, you know, quite difficult on reflection, but it looked like it might be one of those days for him where it didn't quite come off. God. But that quickly turned around. And for Barkley's goal,
Barkley's
the fifth goal
was amazing.
Villa's fifth goal, the kind of dovetailing with him and Grealish, what a potential glimpse of things to come that is for Villa. That was just, it was so good. And it's interesting that the manager and the captain are both fans as well, which is making me think, like, maybe should we sack Arteta, get Piers Morgan in, DT as Gunnosaurus, maybe?
It's a wet dream for those lads.
It really is, isn't it? Like, they must just be giddy today. 7-2 against the champions. One of the best teams that we've ever seen win the Premier League.
Well,
you've got
to put seven parentheses, like, to sort of go, it's not a one, guys. It's not a one.
Yeah.
Incredible. But it just sort of like, it basically tells everyone in the league, Liverpool, the Man City's even as well, they can be got at, and they're not playing with the same spirit that they have done last season, or even the season before that. Mm. They're not working as hard. They're not defending deep. You know, Roy was right. Just sack Pat. Roy was right.
Something is afoot, isn't it? We don't know what it is, but...
Well, this is the thing, right, is about the narrative of it. Because, in a weekend that didn't feature Manchester United also getting beaten 6-1, you would think, oh, what does this mean? What does it all mean? And I increasingly start to wonder if it means anything
just
at all.
Just one of those weekends where everything just goes wrong.
Yeah.
For
well, you do get those weird scores in pre-season, don't you?
Mm.
And like maybe we're sort of...
This is a match in Miami.
Exactly.
Like on a pre-season US tour.
Ollie Watkins, let's not forget that
perfect
he scored a first half perfect hat trick. Is that like perfect squared? I don't know.
I
guess because there was a goal that was not scored by him in the middle. I don't know if that has an impact.
Yeah, different places count it as being different things, don't
different
they?
But
I think if you score three goals, it's a perfect hat trick as far as I'm concerned.
it's a perfect
day of the office.
Perfect day. Yeah, so fourth minute, 22nd minute, and then bisected by John McGinn's 35th minute goal. And then he did it again in the 39th minute.
Bisected.
That. Hey, bringing class.
Yeah, someone went to Cambridge, and it was not me or Pete.
Did it take a global outbreak of a terrible disease to make a lot of teams act quite responsibly in the transfer window? Because Villa have had an excellent window. They've signed incredibly well.
They've spent a lot of money, though, haven't they? They are backed, and.
But it's not panic buys. I think a lot of clubs are actually doing, not Manchester United, are doing some pretty good stuff in the transfer window.
I think probably other than Chelsea, who I think Chelsea's business is probably better. Actually, you might even argue that Villa have had the best transfer window of anyone, even Chelsea.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, fine. You guys as well. Yeah. I try to forget about you when you're doing
when's he
well.
Getting on the field? When's Baylor getting on the field?
We'll come on to that in the second half, but that's a terrifying prospect given what we've already seen, isn't it?
Also about Ollie Watkins, he's the first player to score a hat-trick against Klopp's Liverpool. And the first player to score a hat-trick in the Premier League. And the first player to score a hat-trick against Liverpool full stop since 2010.
Okay.
Which is... And also, these are his first Premier League goals. Mm. Because he's a Championship player up until about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So
I'd say he's proved his worth.
I think can he do it in the Premier League? Is what I'm trying to ask.
A lot of players in the Premier League have spent 10 seasons trying to make it in the Premier League and not managed it, to be quite frank.
Yeah. It's just the way they kept like signing. The thing about the lack of leadership was kind of bizarre. Like, I understand, of course, you have to mention. Obviously, Alisson is injured. He's out for 4 to 6 weeks. You get Adrian coming in. He makes that big mistake for the first goal. It rocks seemingly everybody in the entire team. And of course, there's this obvious argument that, you know, if you don't quite trust the guy behind you, we've seen it for Chelsea, you know, they're conceding left, right and centre with Kepa in there. That then the reaction is more difficult because you worry if you try and pass it back to your goalie, he's going to just hoof it into his own net for no reason. But... I mean, that's not the whole thing of it, is it?
No, there was a bit of a perfect storm at play as well. Obviously, Villa played really, really well and Liverpool were rattled in a way that you don't expect them to be. But like, I mean, were three of those goals deflected?
Yeah.
Like quite heavy deflections as well. That's a rare thing. That's, you know, that does go some way towards the quite bizarre scoreline. But at the same time, you know, Barkley had a couple of chances, as we mentioned. Ollie Watkins was through on goal in a one-on-one that he probably should have done better with at one point as well. Like, Villa genuinely could have had
actually,
more
honourable
as well.
Mention that Adrian didn't, because he closed, he came right out and closed him down for that.
Yeah, so credit to Adrian.
Just trying to be balanced, mate. Just trying to be fully neutral. Yeah, it was an absolutely mad evening. There was something as well about it coming... off the back of, we'll get to the Spurs win, don't worry, it does come up. But yeah, there's something just mad about it coming off this collectively unhinged weekend in the Premier League.
No, it was flipping crazy. I mean, especially because, like, obviously Carragher was laughing at Gary Neville earlier in the day, and then later, obviously, Liverpool gets stuffed. It's just
Carragher was just laughing, wasn't it? Because the point is, you can't, like you say, the narrative thing, you can't really explain it. You can say, like, it was incredible how Villa put together these, the way they just got through. There didn't seem to be a midfield, and then there didn't really seem to be a back line. And Virgil van Dijk, one of the greatest players currently operating in football, just sort of standing around looking as though he had no way to influence what was going on. You can say all that, but it doesn't still make sense.
Explain what we watched.
Part of me is thinking, and this is obviously deeply unscientific, but like, is it just because the game was so late? Like, does stuff like that have like an influence on
maybe
on things? Because football seems so much weirder with every game being consecutive.
Yeah.
And the weekends are so, so packed. And it does, like, obviously the Man United Spurs game was so enjoyable for a neutral. And like, then it's like to think, like, I can't believe there's another game now. It's like, all right, well, I'm moving house at the moment. So I was like, I'll have it on in the background while I'm sort of shuffling things around and moving boxes. And I was like, well, I am not taking my eyes off this. Like, what a brilliant little bonus that was.
Yeah.
Like, but I don't know, it feels to me like those, if you're a player waiting all day watching the other results come in, it's got to be quite a weird feeling. Mm. And I wonder if that affects how sort of pumped you are by the time you get on the pitch.
They're exhausting not only us, but like the actual people who were partaking in the sport itself, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Jürgen Klopp afterwards said quite a lot of stuff and did his little laugh that he does when he hates everyone. I go backwards and forwards about who would be more of a cold-hearted killer, him and Pep. And I think it's Jürgen, to be honest. He does look as though he would just stare at you with those eyes and really enjoy it.
Slender man.
Yeah, anyway, he said, each ball we lost was a massive counter-attack. They were quicker of mind than we were, which I think is quite a nice way to put it.
Yeah, just I think the thing that characterises Liverpool teams and certainly Jürgen Klopp teams is the intensity, and it just was not there in this match. And it hasn't been there for a lot of times this season, in my opinion, anyway. So,
yeah.
I mean, apart from last week.
They're coming off of the back of two quite incredible seasons, which are going to be just exhausting.
Mm.
Like, you know, it's quite often the third season of teams in a cycle like that where it comes unstuck. And a Liverpool fan said to me recently that he was a bit worried about Liverpool's defence in particular this season, because the season where Man City pipped them to it with 1,000 points or whatever it was, I mean, Liverpool... they had a crazy amount of points themselves, didn't they? Absolutely insane amount of points. So in that's a title winning season. In your legs,
do you know what I mean?
That's mentality-wise and fitness-wise. They also obviously won the Champions League. So that fatigue has to be taken into account in a way that perhaps it hasn't been.
Mm. Mental fatigue as well as everything else. Yeah, although obviously, you know, looking at it from the other perspective, Aston Villa have the fatigue of being involved in a relegation scrap, which is quite another kind of nervous tension, I would have thought.
I mean, I would think that Villa's priority this season for most of their supporters and most people at the club would have straight away, especially before they've managed to get Jack Grealish, to say, would effectively just be staying in the Premier League again. But I think you've got to reassess that now, right? Surely. I mean, they look far better than someone in a relegation fight.
Yeah, they get Emi Martinez in, they get Ross Barkley. Mm. Oh, man.
It's exciting.
It's a glorious sight. And I just have got no idea what's going to happen after the international break in the games. It could be sort of 0-0 draws all round. Who knows? Let's have a wee jaunt to Elland Road, shall we? Leeds 1, Manchester City 1. Marcelo Bielsa hosting Pep Guardiola to a lovely little creative draw between those two sides. Such vigorous and intensively studied football minds on this one. It's an absolute treat. We knew it would be a treat. We expected this to be a sort of like a Sudoku wrapped in a cryptic crossword being done by Einstein.
And it was a draw. In the end, it was
which
a draw.
Which in a sense
seems like
is exactly the right result, surely. Yeah.
You've got to be so impressed with Leeds, I think, the way they've just come up and just not held their own, even. Held their own seems patronising. They are just so assured of their place in the Premier League and of the game plan. And obviously, you're always going to have that with a manager as forensic as Bielsa. And It's got to be frustrating for Guardiola, right? They as we said after they got that tank in from Leicester, quite often they then batter a team after that, and that did not happen.
No, but I mean they were man-marked to within an inch of their lives, and it all depended on what Mahrez was doing at times. So, like, I think Cooper kind of a little bit more of a freer role.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was just they just worked so bloody hard, Leeds. I was so impressed with them.
I think Man City missed having a focal point as well.
They're still going down on Twitter. I'm still going down.
Yeah, doubling down on that. Yeah.
Sod it.
But yeah, I mean, they started without a striker, didn't they? Effectively, and that's, you know, whoever you are, that's always gonna cause you problems.
Mm. Yeah, it's true. Guardiola said afterwards, society gives credit for the winners. It's like perfume. When you win, you smell so good. When you don't, you smell so bad.
Odd man. Odd man.
Odd man. I just wanted someone to grab hold of him and go, that wasn't as pithy or interesting as you think. It just wasn't very good, mate.
That's actually not even at all relevant to the game, to be honest,
make any
Pep.
Sense,
I don't know why. I don't think they smell bad after. Do they smell bad after that, Pete? I don't know.
No, Leeds are a hard working side, and they're still going down. And they've certainly tightened up after the first couple of matches of the season. But they if you come up to the top division and work as hard as that, you are giving yourself an incredible chance of staying up and certainly against but then again, like Manchester City in the past couple of seasons, at the top toss nothing else, they will lose or they will draw against sides who are willing to outwork them, and that's in my opinion what happened here. But yeah, great performance.
Yeah, and the equaliser was coming, wasn't it? Mm. It was strange how the pressure went backwards and forwards throughout the game, which was why it was so good to watch, I think. Mm. Lovely Raheem Sterling goal for City. He's not sort of creating as many assists these days, but he is finishing them, which has been it was a criticism for a while and not anymore. 1-1, the final score in that one. I think, do we agree that did it deliver as a Sudoku contest? Or
yeah, it did, didn't it? I mean, yeah. it was like a chess match almost, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You did have that kind of element of looking at these two tacticians in it. So it wasn't quite as spectacular as some of the other games, obviously, because, you know, how often can you say that was the case after what we've seen this weekend? But I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I think it's 12 shots on target from Leeds and like one from Manchester City. So,
wow.
Like,
yeah, but you only need one.
You only need one.
Two in this instance would have been better, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, 33,000 or whatever it was in the other game is probably excessive.
It was High Press Sunday.
Oh man, I'm still reeling from it. And I'll tell you why. Because coming up after the break, Spurs United.
Hi. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Join me, Melissa Reddy, and listen to my brand new podcast, Between the Lines. I'll be speaking to the biggest names in football about the captivating, behind-the-scenes stories fans want to hear. From major talking points to untold anecdotes, you'll hear from some of football's leading stars as well as those working in the shadows. In our first episode, I spoke to former Spurs manager Maurizio Pochettino about that Amazon documentary.
We feel responsible because it was very difficult to say yes to open the door to Amazon. Only we watch with Jesus the 25 minutes first, because it was until we left the club.
And on our latest episode, I investigate how prevalent and damaging social media abuse is in football.
And I was like taking all this negativity onto myself, and I did. I kind of lost myself and my personality because I knew everything that was going on around it. And it's not until I actually got to a stage where I thought, I can't take this anymore. It is becoming too much for me, that I spoke out about it.
Craving football insight? Well, look no further. Listen to Between the Lines with me, Melissa Reddy, via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Hi, I'm Dion Dublin, and when I'm not banging my tube, I'm listening to the Football Ramble.
That's nice, Dion.
Yeah.
Oh, Dion. Get egg.
Sean is up the stairs to the master bedroom, isn't it?
That's just you, Pete. Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. We need to talk about Betway for the score. There is an update. There is a big update from Luke Moore, who's not... he must be sad he's not here. Before this chaos that we're going to get to in a minute from the rest of the weekend's delicious action... entry to Betway's Four to Score is free every week. You got to pick the first goal scorer in the four selected games for your chance to win a weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted, of course, before the first game. Further terms and conditions apply. We get involved. We win sometimes, or never, in fact, in reality. Our first game was Arsenal against Sheffield United. Andy's pick for that one. I think sort of playing it safe, but you can't play it safe, as we talked about. You can't just play it safe. But anyway, Alexander Lacazette, he went with, good idea.
Yeah, didn't start.
Good idea in principle. Bukayo Saka got his first goal at the Emirates just on the week of getting his England call up as well. So good week for him. He is a lovely player. Jim, Wolves against Fulham, of course.
I went for Raul Jimenez.
You got to go for Raul Jimenez.
Yeah, well, apparently you shouldn't in this situation because it almost never works out that way. It was Pedro Neto, wasn't it? Got the goal.
Then game three, Manchester United against Spurs at 4:30 kickoff. Luke Moore picked Bruno Fernandes. And not only was he correct, he was correct after 2 minutes.
Yeah.
The man must think he is just made of diamonds.
Tell you what, in the circumstances though of that game, that's a hell of a pick, isn't it?
Brilliant. All right, so we got one, thank God. And then Aston Villa, Liverpool, again, sensible picking from Marcus Bellet. Decent one. Mo Salah, of course, got the two Liverpool goals, but not the first one, which was from perfect hat tricks, Ollie Watkins. So yes, 1 out of 4 for us. I don't know. I feel quite good about that.
Yeah. It's a good week.
It's something to build on.
It's something to build
a
on.
A bedrock.
Two for next week, I reckon. I think we can do that and then build up to the big four. We'll be back with another round of Betway's Forza Score on the preview show this Friday. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Don't forget, further T's and C's apply, 18 plus, and please do gamble responsibly. For more information on that, head to begambleaware.org now. God, it's really like we're holding off from this bloody Spurs thing, isn't it? We've got to do an email. Email show at Football Ramble to get in touch. Thank you, Craig Norton, for emailing in. He says this. Hello, Ramblers. Speaking of unsportsmanlike conduct for shouting at the opposition, as we were chatting about on Friday's show, we played a team, I guess it is his amateur team, where one guy got sent off. Okay, yeah, for barking. He ran after our player as if he were the mailman. That was his second yellow. He got his first for doing the hacker in a defensive wall. Anyway, it didn't bother us. We beat them 9-2 or so. I'm a little bit suspicious of or so in that email, yeah. Craig.
Although
I love it.
I can't help but think that he should have been kept on the field. If he's doing hackers and defensive walls and barking like a dog chasing a postman, I think, you know, keep him on. I want to see what he does next.
Yeah.
That's not a yellow card offence.
I love, anyway, it didn't bother us. I bet it didn't.
You know, no, it was brilliant.
They're a man down.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's a shame to get sent off for barking, really, isn't it? It's just adding, it's just creative genius, some could argue.
Yeah, some could argue. Sure, he's a character.
Bless him. All right, plenty of that. Thank you, though, guys. Do keep emailing us, show at footballramble.com. It's easy to remember. And so is this. Manchester United 1-6. Now we get into the meat of it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm rubbing my hands because Tottenham Hotspur beat Manchester United 6-1 at Old Trafford. Jose's merry men return to unleash hell on his former employers. It's the heaviest defeat for United under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and under Ed Woodward, interestingly. That's since 2013. West Brom and Fulham, the only sides with a worse goal difference than United. That's all understood, friends, and we enjoyed obviously the soul searching from various Manchester United legends in the Sky studio. We can come on to that, don't worry. But look, I know, like, not just because I'm obviously happy about this, and I feel we could have said this in the Villa game as well. We should probably start by saying Spurs were really good.
They were,
you know,
absolutely. it did get a little bit lost, probably just because there wasn't a Spurs voice in the studio. Mm. It got lost in the kind of deconstruction of the game, didn't it? It was treated as if it was this disaster for Man United, but it's like Spurs were ruthless.
Yeah.
So good. Like, just pinging it about in Man United's box, hypnotising them, forcing them into all kinds of, let's say, characteristic mistakes. It was fantastic.
It would have been only surprised if the referee had got an actual red fig leaf out of his pocket to send the player off, because it was a really, really useful thing for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to have a player sent off, because he's got to say, well, we were down to 10 men. They would have beaten them handsomely, even if they had 11. I mean, you had Maguire pulling down Luke Shaw. Why are you doing this?
What was Luke
Harry?
Shaw doing in the first place as well? Just kicking at the air. Like, absolutely ridiculous. I mean, to the point where, was Man United's penalty, what, after 2 minutes? The Spurs were like, by 5 minutes. I was like, what are you worried about? They went, yeah, we'll just turn that around.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
It was,
they're not really trying to stop us scoring.
It's weird that, isn't it? I mean, I think, look, Son and Kane, the way they've got this like magnetic like relationship between the two, I guess that's the luxury of having had them playing together for so many years now. You know, they can read each other, they can assist, they can score. As we know, Harry Kane keeps setting Son up, but Son returned the favour yesterday as well.
And as we alluded to, I even forgot this, there's still Gareth Bale to come back. Which is just, it's,
to
it's
come back.
Frightening.
Yes! My goodness me.
Well, I was one of the few people who didn't sub Son out of my fantasy Premier League team because he said only had a 25% chance of playing thanks to a hamstring injury. It's like, came back,
fine,
though, didn't he?
Oh my,
absolutely
Jose.
Fine.
Was that an error? Was that you forgetting, though? Be honest.
Yes, yeah, no, it was. Yeah, I still had Mason Greenwood and someone else in the midfield. Mane. I think I've got Mane in the midfield.
I'll pass it off with a tactical mind. Decision. Why but the hell not?
Should Lamella have gone?
Oh, yeah.
That whole thing was very silly, wasn't it?
Silly,
I mean, it
boys.
Just added to the theatre of it and the sort of chaos of it and the calamity of the whole situation.
But was that where silly. Manchester United's kind of attitude went, though? They sort of went, if the referee's going to let us down on this, let's, you know.
Well, I feel like they went down to 10 men and just sort of mentally piled in because Harry Kane scored pretty much immediately, didn't he? Obviously, it was a great finish and a great move, but they were just at sea after that and they just couldn't deal with the storm that Spurs were unleashing on them. And also, you got the impression that, you know, we've all seen that line from the Amazon documentary where Jose was telling them at certain times they need to be a certain way. And this was one of those times, wasn't it? He's clearly told them to go for the jugular and they've done that with aplomb.
No pun intended.
And but Man United just, I mean, there was a huge, huge, you know, moratorium about this after the game. But I just feel like a lot of people are saying, okay, they need to bring in new personnel. Mm. They've spent a lot of money in recent years. But I just feel like, regardless of who they have or haven't signed in this window, that collection of players should never be getting beaten 6-1 at home, even with a man sent off. Like, it's not like this is a bad squad. They're just clearly not being coached very well.
But yeah, exactly. I mean, I think the people are talking about the systemic rot, you know, starting from up on high and then kind of travelling down effectively.
Which is absolutely true and valid,
but they are not getting the best out of those footballers. And that's because the manager is just not a great manager.
That seems to be the case. But, you know, that said, he got them in third last season. He did a really good job at the end of the season. So it seemed like actually maybe we would all have to eat some humble pie. And then
turns out we're full, thanks.
Yeah, I mean, that said, it could be an anomaly. Maybe they won't get this.
Based on what we've seen and the kind of bizarre, which we'll come on to in a moment, you know, Leicester going from beating City 5-2 to not registering a shot on target in their game. Like, I don't know if we can.
It's hard not to bundle it all together, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. When you shouldn't really do that. And maybe this will be a one-off and Man United won't be this bad again this season. You would expect that. You would hope that'd be the case. Mm. But at the same time, you're just like, Luke Shaw at the end should have been sent off for that absolutely cynical professional foul.
I have a real problem with professional fouls at the best of times. They shouldn't be in the game, in my opinion. They're pathetic.
I agree.
But to do them badly, to do them unprofessionally, is the worst.
It's really cowardly at that stage as well.
Because you absolutely should have been off.
Yeah,
I don't know why that's not a red.
I think just sympathy from the referees. Yeah, the only.
Yeah, but like, should that be? Why is that not looked at? Well, I don't understand what the.
Quite.
Is it not a bit like how it's hard to send someone off in the second minute?
But that's not how the rules are.
What they're there for, is it? But
you are a stickler for them, Pete.
I am.
It's just so unprofessional, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so.
What is it? Well,
like, it just shows of somebody having piled in completely and just gone, you know, I can't
it's
be bothered with today.
As well, isn't it?
Sulking, and it is dangerous, absolutely. Yeah.
It's just so wrong that, you know, you should be doing something that good and then be just completely taken out by. I can't remember who it was saying on comms. It was like, this is like a kid's game, some of it. It's like, what is going on?
Could have said that about a lot of matches over the weekend. I very much enjoyed Mark Bosnich. I don't know whether he just didn't have his earpiece in or his earpiece wasn't functioning.
Yeah.
But when Sky sort of went, we've got, I think it's a club legend, which I think is a little bit wider than Mark. Mark Bosnich. And he's just like looking into the camera, like looking exhausted.
All the girls do bloody take it out of you, don't they? I mean, So speaking, it's obviously transfer deadline day today. The window closes at 11 o'clock. So you're speaking about the signings, and we've actually spoken already.
Cavani at centre-back, come on!
Is that what you'd do with him?
That's what I'd do with him.
We've talked, perhaps because so many other teams seem to have had such a good transfer window, I think. When you start to look at what Manchester United have been up to, i.e. not very much, Donny van der Beek, and it looks as though Cavani is coming in. It said that he was having his medical last night. And then there's also this Porto defender, Alex Telles, significantly, for about 15 or £16 million. So they're making moves, but it just seems as though not only do they need something a bit more... Look, sorry, this maybe is a bit obvious, but they need like a bit more of a structured approach, let's say. But also, I think the problem is of perspective, because other people are having such a good window.
Yeah.
You're Manchester United and everyone knows you've got money to spend and you've been doing all this weird faffy stuff with Jadon Sancho.
I do think more than any other
people
club, they suffer from that. They are charged at a premium that I don't think anybody else really seems to suffer from. And obviously it takes its toll over a while. Because if you overpay for everybody, because that's the only choice you seem to have, then there's more pressure on each player,
everybody's,
right?
Well, look at Martial, how much money he came in for. And he took a very long time to get right.
And Harry Maguire as well. He's going to have... I think
He's not... How much is he saying?
80 million.
He's not an 80 million pound... Probably argue he's not even a 40 million pound footballer.
But I feel like across the board, generally speaking, price tags aren't used as sticks to beat players with as much as they maybe once were, except at Man United. They're in a really weird set of circumstances.
Because, well, Woodward, if he was sensible, take his payoff and just go, look, I may be delivering value to the shareholder. Oh, wait, that's my job. Don't worry about it. I'm going to stay here. But but he seems to be a totem that Manchester United just don't need. He could do that job behind the scenes that no one would know he was doing, and still bring in his noodle partnerships, etc., etc. And he wouldn't necessarily need to be this kind of this lightning rod for everyone's criticism. Just move sideways.
Yeah, absolutely.
Put someone else in.
Why is he doing this in the first place?
Why has he still got that title? Why is he still sat in the stands? Why does he need to be there? It's just a real weird distraction, and it detracts from what Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is trying to do at his, in my opinion, slightly limited level.
Yeah, if you can't have Gunnosaurus at the Emirates.
Yes, get him in.
Why do you get to have Ed Woodward sitting there with his branded face mask?
Not good, good.
Not good, good.
Gary Neville on comms said it was scabby. Would that be your assessment?
Yeah. I love it when Gary Neville was angry. Because he was, bless him, he was incredibly professional for 80 minutes. Yeah. And then at the end he just couldn't hack it anymore. He's just like, this is pathetic. Bless him.
He started laughing at some point.
He did, yeah. Actually, I thought the moment between him and Carragher at the end, or just the kind of them sending each other pictures of each other at the end of the day, was really sweet. They're just bonding over this ridiculous thing happening to both of their clubs. But yeah, he's good value, isn't he, Gino?
He is.
Should we finish talking about this by talking a little tiny bit more about Spurs being good?
Yeah.
Is that all right? Just because Pierre-Emerick Højbjerg.
What the
underwhelming
amalgamation of players. If you could put two players together and you chose that, it would be such a waste.
I don't even know what that would be like. It could be amazing because Højbjerg has this whole thing previously at Southampton of shooting from distance for no, like just speculatively and it never going in. So maybe if you bonded in with Aubameyang,
maybe a bit more accurate.
It would be amazing, but yeah, it was cool how he kind of created this platform for the defence to bomb forward with the width, and then it just seemed like people were comfortable and confident. And Tongyan Dombele obviously has incredible passing.
He was very good
ability, and he knows how to pick a pass, and he's got vision. And we've mentioned Son and Kane already. I mean, I probably should just list out the whole team.
Yeah, it was similar with Villa, isn't it? As we were saying, because it was a really, really strong Spurs performance coupled with Man United just sort of letting the heads drop. And,
But it is hard if you keep coming up against people being able to make you look a bit silly or a bit slow.
Well, that's it, isn't it? You start, presumably, you would start second guessing yourself.
And let's not forget, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer tried to lock things down at halftime.
Yeah.
He was like, right, we'll make these changes. We'll contain this. I don't know. I guess we're not, tactical geniuses in here. What else? Mm. What else can he? Should he have done?
The way Pogba conceded the penalty was quite funny, wasn't it? Like a plank. I don't think I've seen a plank foul before.
It was so bizarre. I guess they were throwing their bodies on the line to try and shore.
Make it worse.
This one up. See what I did there?
Very good. Very good.
That's for you, Pete.
Cheers, mate.
All right then. So yes, it was United 1, Spurs 6. Just to recap that for you in case you missed that scoreline. And then that came before the bizarre 7-2 over at Villa Park. It was an absolutely glorious day. We've got just a little moment remaining for a result that potentially could have like led the running order on a normal day, which is, as we mentioned a moment ago, Leicester, off the back of their 5-2 win against City, lost 3-0 to West Ham at home.
Yeah.
It's like it's a pools buster, this one, isn't it? Like,
really
this whole
is.
Weekend is just an absolute mess.
Absolutely nuts. Like, there were some really good goals in this game. Pablo Fornals' control for his finish was just one of the goals of the weekend. As well. Oriol Romeo's as well for Southampton. Brilliant. It's not like there wasn't good stuff going on elsewhere, was it? Like, it was a really, really strong weekend.
And tactically, I thought, like, they got it really right, even though their manager is at home. Yeah. But, like, the way that West Ham have been transformed by some fairly decent signs and also just being a bit more sensible about which players they have on the field, the players that work a little bit harder. You know, obviously, Noble's in the bin now and they're playing a 3-4-3. And when you've only got a couple of midfield spots up for grabs, like Souček and Antonio coming forward, they are so powerful in the air, and it's like, you know, I'll bring up Andy Carroll again, but like nobody likes to play against Andy Carroll, whatever he's doing. He might be having an off day, he might be having an on day. Either way, you don't enjoy a gigantic player who's really good in the air, just disrupting play. But Souček and Antonio, they're just so powerful, and I just love watching when West Ham get it right and have got it right this season. They've been really, really imperious.
Yeah,
when they've got it bad, they've been pretty caustic and awful. But
Jared Bowen, it feels like he took a little while to settle, but he is absolutely comfortable there now.
Defenders are there
threat.
To be spooked today.
Yes.
in the Premier League.
Yeah.
They're there to be spooked.
I actually did want to ask you, Pete, because their West Ham, their first game of the season was that 2-0 defeat by Newcastle, and it looked...
I think you could probably put that down to maybe just a usual slow start to the season, maybe not being fit because they look completely abject and lacking in ideas. But they still had their chances.
Yeah.
So I think it wasn't the worst performance in the world. But yeah, it was. They might do something in that they probably won't be in a relegation battle. When I say do something, they won't be in a relegation battle this season because they've certainly got the players, and as long as they don't let the heads drop when they don't manage to get top 10 or whatever, because that's what every player wants, to be number 9 in the league. I hope that they sort of rally and do quite well, because I do have a bit of a soft spot for West Ham.
Do you?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Relations. And friends.
Oh, that's giving me. The footballing community is
and
grateful.
Sex toys. Big fan of sex toys.
I see. Yes. The Dildo Brothers. Dildo it all brothers. Comes out now.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that makes a lot more sense. Yeah. David Moyes. Unusual segue, anyway. doing a very good impression of kind of convincing his employee. He's coming across like a man who's thinking, I like this whole working from home a lot.
Yeah.
If I really put a good shift in here,
well, he was,
this might be a permanent thing.
He was loving the lockdown, wasn't he? He was like sort of he was
exactly
ferrying food
one,
around to people that needed it.
Food
ferrier. Like, yeah, and like and he was actually just really seemingly enjoying it. So maybe he's got more time to do that in the future. Maybe he can work remotely and he'll just be driving his van around. Mm. He'll have the game on. He probably shouldn't be watching it and driving at the same time, but he will be.
Delivering
and I think
rice.
This is the future for him. Yeah.
If you will. He's playing very well at the moment.
Maybe Alan Evans, just much more charismatic in person than David Moyes.
Stuart Pearce running around taking messages.
Yeah. So West Ham, what this all means is that they've won successive Premier League games while keeping a clean sheet for the first time since May 2019. I don't know.
Is that even a stat?
I thought that was going to be longer.
I thought it was
going to
be longer.
Ago,
like, I thought it was going to be 1993 or something.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it wasn't a classic.
Stats are getting more. Look, when we've had a weekend of Premier League action like this, the stats are going to look a bit worse.
Yeah, that's a
bit less impressive
thing.
Yeah.
Come on. I feel a bit offended you didn't want a stat there.
Sorry.
It's all right. Kate.
We can't lie to you.
Yeah, that's true. That's a nice thing to know. That's a sign of a good friendship, isn't it? That's where we know that trust has been established. trust in Leicester, why didn't they have any shots on target? I don't know. Does anyone know?
I think they talk about like Vardy, he can convert everything he's given, but he didn't get given anything.
Yeah.
So you literally have to have shots on target, guys. You literally have to get balls to goal scorers, and then they can have a crack at it. But they just had no. Tactically, they were just the West Ham just marked them out of the game. It was enjoyable, very enjoyable. It was all about West Ham and just very little about Leicester City. Maybe just a hangover from last week. I don't know.
Mm.
Yeah, and who the hell knows what's going to happen next?
Mm.
More chaos, I hope.
Yeah, and of course,
I think I hope. I mean, if this happens every weekend, will we start to just disbelieve it?
Yeah. Spin the wheel of fortune.
Yeah.
It just does make it really hard to understand when you're living through it. It's like, what's the sequence here? Yeah. I have no idea. Well, anyway, there's an international break, so we can think about it. We can think through it all.
That'll reset
ourselves, write a few haikus, analyse the beauty of the moments, and come back with all the answers. I can hardly wait, guys.
Lovely.
Well, this has been a nice day.
Hasn't it?
Did you have fun, Jim?
Had a lovely time.
Oh, great. How about you, Pete?
Yeah, all it took was Spurs hammering a football team. Hammering them.
I'm happy for everyone else, too. on tomorrow's show, Marcus, Pete, you're back.
Oh.
With some hot takes. And Andy said, don't miss that one. Thanks for joining us today, guys. Have a lovely, lovely day.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.